Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the show, the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Always a pleasure to welcome Sarah Bullen back onto the show. As I said, no stranger to the DL Link Show. And really, Sarah, you've come onto the show under, you know, having different discussions as a writing coach, talking about how to write that book. I remember, I think it was during COVID, and everyone was writing, and it was so wonderful. And then the last time we had a conversation, we were chatting about your book, Love and Above, and an extraordinary story of, your which we'll be unpacking a little bit in introduction to your new book, The Other Side. So it's just great to have you back on the show. How are you? And welcome back.
Thank you, Nikki. And it is wonderful to be back. And yes, isn't that hilarious that, you know, during COVID, I was talking about how to write a book, which is my day job. And then I really had the two big books that I had to write that I had not written for 10 years since the incident actually happened. So, yeah, it was a journey as well to write my own story that was being hidden.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if just for a moment, being a, you know, in publishing and editing and this writing coach, and yeah, you are encouraging other people to write their stories, and you've got these, wow, amazing stories to share. Did you ever find while coaching others that you were actually coaching yourself?
You know, I do and I didn't. So the incident we're going to talk about, which was my month-long near-death experience, happened in 2012. And from the moment it happened, in fact, before even that, all my friends were saying, Sarah, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. You have got to write about this. After my near-death experience, and I related what had happened, they said, Sarah, this is even more crazy. You're an author. You're a published author. Write about it. And on this went for a decade, Nikki, people going, Sarah, please, people are writing books. You're helping people write books. You're ghostwriting books. This crazy, crazy things happened. And I just couldn't. I couldn't write about it. And I see that in my authors. And I think it was because I was still living it. I wasn't through it. I wasn't through the near death. I wasn't through my husband's death. I wasn't through my cancer, which also happened over this intense period of time, and there was no way I could share my story. And I see that so often in people who have had an incredibly dramatic story or loss, is you are not ready to share it until you are ready. And it's very different telling friends around dinner or in the privacy of conversations. Even your guest before coming on the radio, she said when she had cancer, she didn't even talk about it. It's so common, you know, because you're holding this story so close to your chest that to go public with it feels very bold, a little bit crazy. And I see that so often with people who've lived through something.
Just amazing, though, Sarah, because, you know, and then you went ahead and you've written both of these books, and they're just pretty extraordinary. And I keep using the word extraordinary, only way to describe them, really. So just to put our listeners in the picture, we last chatted about Love and Above. And we're not going to go deeply into the story because I want to focus on the other side. But as you've alluded to, this NDE, this near-death experience, perhaps you can just fill our listeners in what that was all about and how that led to you writing The Other Side.
So the near-death experience that I had happened in 2012. I was 36, about to turn 37 years old. I was already a published author. I was the group editor of a big magazine publishing company. I had two young children, and I'd also had a really stressful 4 years. And I say stressful because my husband, who was 40 at the time, had been diagnosed with brain cancer 4 years earlier. And by the time we got to 2012, he had exhausted his options. He had done surgery. He had done radiation. He'd also followed a spiritual path working on his tumor. He had gone into ancestral work as a Sangoma in training. It had all come to the very last month of his life, and he was on a downhill trajectory, losing consciousness in a very bad way, still living at home. And I got a little tickle in my throat, a little chest cold. I flashed off an order to my office. I said, courier my laptop home. I'm going to finish the magazine from my bed. I'm feeling terrible. I'll be back on Monday. And that's not what happened at all. In fact, 24 hours later, I was in ICU in Constantiaburg Mediclinic. I was on life support and I was in an induced coma with a rough diagnosis of pneumonia, possibly influenza. And I stayed in that coma for 3 weeks. Now, in that time that this body, this 36-year-old body, was intubated on life support in the hospital, I went on an extended soul journey. So my being, my soul, my spirit, whatever words you use in your own belief system to describe it, left eventually the body and started to travel through realms and worlds and into other planes, I'm going to call it. And it took 3 weeks of those travels. I'm cutting quite a long story short, so I'm going to come back, circle back to my coma and my near-death experience, because we'll come back to what happened in there. So for 3 weeks, I was in the outer reaches of the universe. I was communing within the spirit world. I was saying goodbye to my husband, who was also with me in this other spirit world. Through a series of medical interventions and prayer, I came back. I woke up. I was brought out of the coma. I fought my way back to life. My husband passed away 3 days later. And I was left reeling with this experience of what had happened, of what had just happened to my life. Of course, having been in a coma for a month, I had to fight my way to learn to breathe again, to sit again, to stand again. I had to learn to walk again. And I was caught up in this huge, huge thing of a death and a near death. And I sat down and I documented what had happened in my coma and my soul travels. And I filed it. I was a journalist. I sent it off a few months later to the Journal of Near Death Studies. And I sort of got on with my life. But I couldn't really forget. You know, I didn't talk much about it, but what had happened was so vivid, so extreme, so unbelievable that it became a real focus of my life. And that's where the 10 years happened that I was talking about earlier, where I moved on, I healed, I moved with my children to a small Greek island. And people were saying, Sarah, this is right about this crazy adventure you've been on. And it wasn't until I moved back to South Africa and I sat down in front of a publisher and they said to me, we want the book about your coma. That I sat down and I wrote what became Love and Above. And that Love and Above details that very extended experience of my husband's cancer and my near-death experience. And Love and Above came out. And I have subsequently in the last 3 years talked all over the world about Love and Above. And Nikki, what was remarkable was what I thought was the story, which was really my husband's dramatic battle and his shamanism and my life after near death. It was not what people were interested in. In fact, in country after country, people asked me about the near-death experience, which hadn't been the focus. And it was in the speaking about this that I started to realize that, oh, this is very interesting to people. And that is how it led me down the path to write The Other Side, in which I really set about to gather other stories in Southern Africa of people who've had near-death experiences. So it's quite a long way of answering your question, but of course, been a very long journey.
For sure it's been a long journey. I mean, that's 12 long years. And, you know, as you were saying it, and I was thinking about some of the stories that you've shared, and I love that they are South African stories, Sarah. I really love that. And I was just wondering if you had written it all those years ago, would you have had the richness? Would you have had these people who have shared their stories? Because they've been on long journeys as well. So I suppose it all boils down to the right timing. Sarah, you talk about a near-death experience, and I'm really interested. You were in a coma. as you say, it was an induced coma. You were intubated. So already, when I first started reading this book, I have to just share from my personal point of view, my father had an accident and he was put into an induced coma. And I started reading your book. And the book starts off with, you know, coma and experiences and near-death experiences. And I was so curious because I kept wondering, what is he going through? What is he going through? What is he going through? And then, as I said, reading your book all at the same time, is going into a coma, is this induced coma? Is it this, because if some of the people whose stories you share, you know, they're lying in bed and then they're having this experience. For you, you had, as you said, you went to all ends of the universe. You had all these incredible experiences. Were you near death? Was it a coma? And does that even matter?
Yeah, so very interesting question. So coming back to the coma, not everybody who's in a coma has a near-death experience. Now, this was one of my first difficulties in pulling together stories. So when I decided I wanted to pull together stories, I had some quite strict criteria. So a near-death experience has a number of check boxes. It doesn't mean I nearly died, okay? That's a misconception out there. It doesn't mean, oh, I escaped death. Generally, a near-death experience is when you have either been declared clinically dead on an operating table or in a medical setting, or you are so close to death that the particular things happen to classify it in as a near-death experience. So not everybody in a coma has that. In fact, many people I interviewed had been in extended comas and had no memory of anything happening whatsoever. Uh-huh. In my personal experience, when I retrieved my medical records sometime down the line, there was a point at which I had not breathed for 24 minutes and I had been resuscitated. Does that qualify? I wasn't declared dead. We don't have that level of knowledge. Many of the stories, people were declared dead. The one, which is the Glenn Douglas Haig, who was shot 7 times in armed robbery, was declared dead in the ambulance and arrived 21 minutes later, wheeled to the morgue where he woke up. So firstly, not everybody who has a coma or even dies and is resuscitated has a near-death experience. A near-death experience has a number of elements all together that make it be qualified as that. I'll give you some of them. And this is really according to the Virginia Humanities Department. So there's quite an extensive body of study into near death. And just some of them are this. Firstly, it's a feeling comfortable, pain-free, a sensation of either leaving the body or hearing yourself even being pronounced dead. Many people report unusual noises, very high mind function. And I really want to flag that high mind function because it's very different to a dream. A dream is a dreamy state. A near-death experience is a hyper-reality. Many people experience being drawn into a tunnel. Not all of them do. And you'll realize, of course, in my near-death experience, I didn't at all. Some people see a bright light. There's generally a feeling of peace or bigness or unconditional love. There's also an element of many of these in which people feel they have access to sacred knowledge or cosmic or eternal or divine knowledge. Some people call it, you know, the book of life, the Akashic records, the sum of all knowledge. And on I go. There's often something called a life review, which is really interesting, in which there's some sense in a near-death experience of having to account for the life you were given on this earth. And they took so many forms, as you'll read in my book. Sometimes people see deceased or loved ones, but not always. But what is always there in a near-death experience is a barrier or a chasm or a river or a door or a gate through which the soul or the spirit or the being cannot cross. And you're going to see in some of the stories, even people who were shown heaven or even people who were shown hell, which is very common, weren't in it. They couldn't get into it, but they were shown it. And then, of course, there's the return. the return being essential because otherwise nobody
wouldn't have the story to tell. Amazing.
So not everybody has all of these, but these are the check boxes that science has put and attached to what is actually a near-death experience.
I love that you say science is attached to that, because, you know, you obviously knew this and then you went and interviewed all of these people. And we're going to take a quick break, a quick ad break. But after the ad break, Sarah, I'd just love to know your experience, because I don't want to share too much. You know, there are extraordinary stories, one being a Kabbalist female rabbi who is amazing, Belinda's story. So I want to know from you, when you knew those boxes, when you had this idea what NDE, near-death experience, was, and then you interviewed people and they all had such different stories, but there were similarities, what light went on in you also comparing your experience? So a quick ad break. We're going to be right back.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back. I have Sarah Bullen, multi-published author, writing coach, on the show. We're talking about her book, The Other Side, talking about what happens when we die. How are some people able to see or communicate with spiritual worlds beyond our own? Can they offer answers to some of our most burning questions about life and death? And Sarah, from her own experience, explores this. And Sarah, as I said, for you, you know, sometimes I feel like life is, I'm in a dark room and I switch on a light and all of a sudden I see things, and then maybe it gets dark again. And then I go, oh, wow. So maybe I did know that, or maybe it's just been revealed, or, you know, it's always curious. Was that what it was like for you in any way when you were comparing your personal story and that tick box, that NDE, and then people started to share their story? Did it become, oh, wow, I'm starting to see the similarities?
Absolutely. It was an extraordinary process, Nikki. And I will categorically say that it does not matter the culture or the creed or the background or the belief system of the person I spoke to. And over the sort of 6 years since I've been talking about near death, I spoke to so many. It doesn't matter. There are things, and there are similarities, and there are moments that are so real and universal across all of these. But when I woke up from mine, I was quite disturbed and distressed, because that year, and it was 2012, there was a book that had just come out by Dr. Eben Alexander, and I don't know if any of your listeners read it. It is called Proof of Heaven. And it was huge, because he was a neuroscientist. In fact, he is a neurosurgeon, and he had been in a near-death experience. He had, I think, 3 days. He had been in a coma. And he wrote this book, and everybody said, have you read it? Have you read it? Have you read it? And even, of course, having been in a coma for a month, I couldn't read anything because my brain wasn't yet functioning properly. But I was really scared to even look at the book, because even the title scared me, because where I had been wasn't heaven. In fact, I hadn't seen the tunnel and the lights, and I hadn't been sat at the foot of God, and I didn't see angels and beatific beings. In fact, my experience was quite unsettling. It was quite scary. I was disembodied. I had no name. I had no place. I had nowhere to go. I was floating in a vast universe at the very end of the last phase of my near-death experience, which I detailed quite carefully. I'd call it the 7 stages I went through, each one just going further and further away from planet Earth, anything I knew. So I hadn't had those experiences. I, in fact, had been greeted by a tribe of beautiful African women who had sung to me. So I'd been through different rituals. So I was quite scared that everybody else had seen God and, you know, had this beatific experience. So it took me quite a while to start speaking to other people. In fact, one of my interview subjects, Hillian Page, she came on one of my writing retreats in Greece, and she sidled up to me and she shared she'd had a horrendous near-death experience.
Yes, yes.
Unbelievably dramatic story. And she had actually, and she grew up in a very strictly religious family, she had been greeted in hell. And she had been so traumatized by that she had come back unable to even speak about it, questioning her faith, and why was I shown this?
Yeah. So Sarah, we're running out of time, but I'm going to say that it's all in this amazing, amazing book. And that's what I love, is that there are so many differences and there's so many similarities. You've left us thinking from the book. So I want to thank you. We're going to have to say goodbye. Thank you for joining us on the show. Sarah Bullen, The Other Side, Journeys into Mysticism, Magic and Near Death. I'm going to have to say goodbye. We've got a voice note from you. For me, Nikki Seberini, until next week, you take care and goodbye.